Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the 7th of February, 2014. Hope you're having a good day. Looking forward to a great weekend. We are live here, 12:04 to 1 each day on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We also have the podcast and live streaming available at buckmastershow.com. And a big shout out to our media partners, Tucson Sentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and blog for Arizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Senate President Andy Biggs will join us. President Biggs, a Republican from the city of Gilbert, Arizona, joining me to question Senator Biggs here in studio. Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of Tucson's only exclusively online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, and Mark Evans is the editor of Inside Tucson Business. If you have a question or comment, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the show. We surpassed today 3,100 friends now on the Buckmaster Show. So please join us, and we would welcome you to do so. Let's now go to the live line. President Biggs with us. How are you today, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing real well. I want to start right off the bat. Senator Steve Farley from Tucson was on one of our morning shows here with Christy Simone, and they were talking about for 8 years, Senator Farley has been pushing his anti-texting and driving bill, and you have blocked that. Can you clarify why you object to Steve's bill?
Well, I've been pretty consistent all along. I was an attorney who practiced in the area of traffic law, both prosecuting and defending. So I'm pretty familiar with the traffic laws and application, and it seems to me that there's a lot, two aspects to this. Number one, we already have a lot of laws on the books that deal with distracted type of driving and the generic behavior that goes with that, so officers can take bad drivers off the road. Number two is this idea that enforceability is really, really tough on a texting with driving. For instance, it took after 2 years, I believe, the number of Phoenix, when the city of Phoenix enacted their own ordinance to that effect, I think they ended up with having maybe six citations. I have no information on the on how good or successful they were in achieving a responsibility type of ruling on those six citations.
So you're saying, in effect, this is not needed. It's already covered under what would be considered a distracted motor law, a motorist law?
Well, we have last time I counted, in excess of 23 traffic laws that deal with this type of driving behavior.
Okay. Senator Biggs, here is Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, go ahead.
Well, one of the things coming out of the legislature this week that grabbed an awful lot of attention is HB 2192, a bill that would make it illegal for someone who's in the country undocumented, who's committed a crime, to be on a public roadway, to be on a sidewalk, to use any sort of public service or resource in Arizona. And does that bill have any chance of getting through the legislature?
You know, there's always a chance, I suppose. I can't predict. I did not know of that bill. It's over in the House, and I haven't had a chance to look at House bills because we won't get those for two more weeks.
Well, what's your assessment? Is anybody backing that in the Senate?
Hard to predict what will happen to something like that. It sounds to me, based on your summation, that maybe some of that's already in law already in Arizona.
All right, here's Mark Evans, Inside Tucson Business. Mark?
So the business community and most of the municipalities, if not all of them in the state, including the and also most of the counties, are clamoring for more money to fix their roads, to repair potholes, to overcome infrastructure deficits that they got themselves into because of the reduction in public funding, public funds during the recession. Even the state during the recession was using some of those road monies for itself to help pay for DPS and other projects. What is the chance of there being some restoration of HERF funding to the cities and counties in this session?
I think that there's a good chance. There's quite a few of us who really believe that that should be a big priority of the legislature and in the budgeting process this session.
And Senator Farley has also proposed a bill that seeking to not just increase the gas tax, which I know would require any increase in taxation would require 2/3 votes of both houses, but he's trying to make it so that counties can impose their own gas tax, which they're currently barred from doing, that they could then give that money to COGS, the councils of governments, like the Pima Association of Governments and the Maricopa Association of Governments, so that they can get some of the extra money they need to overcome these deficits. Down here in Pima County, we think we've got a $1 billion deficit in our roads in terms of roads that are in poor or failed conditions. I think there's even twice that or more in Maricopa County. What do you think about that bill?
Two aspects. If I can, before I discuss the bill, I would say that when we start talking about the I'll just talk about the bill. I haven't seen the bill exactly, but basically what you're telling me is you're going to give counties the authority to tax, which they on the gas tax, which they don't really have now, and so and then they would turn it over to the CAGs. And then the CAGs, on the other hand, can organize and they can go out to the voters and increase the tax, or approve, if the voters approve the tax, they can get a tax, and then they can use that for their roadways and improvements and various forms of transportation infrastructure. For instance, the Prop 400 up in Maricopa County supports almost 50% of what they do is going to go for mass transit type of issues. So, I mean, they do have that tool in their toolbox already. I would be reluctant myself personally, I'm not speaking for the body because I'm not hearing about that bill per se, but I would be reluctant myself to say let's impose, allow counties to just do this tax unless you have some kind of mechanism there for voters to decide whether they want to tax themselves. And I think that would be critical.
President Biggs, we had a question from one of our Facebook friends. He wanted me to ask you, now that the state has taken away the city's ability to audit what is called the transaction privilege tax, a sales tax or taxing on licensing, are more auditors planned? I wasn't aware that the city's ability to audit was taken away. Has it been?
No, it has not been. There's been basically agreement between the cities and the state to try to find some kind of central point of auditing so that you would have overlap, and it's not taken away from the cities and towns, but there has been an expansion of the states and a reduction of some municipal capacity to audit, and my understanding is that the number of auditors at DOR has actually increased because of the new responsibility.
Andy Biggs is with us. He is the State Senate President on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Mark Evans is here and Dylan Smith as we push toward 12:14. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the feeling at the legislature. Of course, there were hard feelings. Do those after at the end of the session the last time around, do those hard feelings persist from the fracture in the Republican caucus over the Medicaid expansion?
You know, I think they're underneath the surface. Everybody seems to be getting along very well from both the Republican and the Democratic side and within the Republican caucus. You've got people who basically, I think, truly believe that if a policy is in the best interest of the state and they're within their understanding, they're going to support it regardless of who the bill sponsor is. And conversely, if a bill they think is bad policy, regardless of who the person is, they're going to vote to try to kill that bill. But the point is, I think there's a level of collegiality that remains, and I think everybody's conducting themselves appropriately and looking at the merits of bills, and I don't see people looking at personalities or names or hard feelings or anything like that. All right. Pretty good right now.
All right, Rose, before we take the break, why don't we see if we can work in Charles on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. Senator Big, thank you for coming on the Buckmaster Show. This morning, Senator Farley has actually said there's an agreement with the DP between him and the DPS that they're going to be begin doing something they're doing in New York State, which is when troopers in high-profile vehicles see someone texting, they're going to pull them over and issue them a citation for speeding because they're going too fast for conditions. The only appropriate speed would be zero for texting. It seems to me, if I can call upon your expertise as an attorney, seems to me that they would be exceeding their authority under the color of law by using a law that wasn't intended for that purpose. Number one, as an attorney, what do you think of it? And number two, can you think of any bills or any way of checking the excess of police power and using the legislature to do it?
The first part of the question deals with is that an appropriate use of the law? And that really is not what that law was intended to do. Arizona's and Arizona adopted the Our transportation laws are essentially model laws, uniform type laws throughout the country. But some of the unique features that we have are 28701A1, which is the statute you're referring to. And basically, it's meant to be a much more generic approach. I mean, is there traffic on the road? Is there what's the condition of your vehicle? Because I mean, if they're going to apply that standard, then basically it would almost end up allowing somebody who is an experienced race car driver on a highway whose car is in excellent condition. It's a dry, clear weather condition. The traffic condition is non-existent. Then what it would be the limit of their capacity to drive. I mean, how fast could they go? Because the conditions of the road, because the circumstances and the conditions would allow basically unlimited speed. So that's the first part of the question. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Real quickly to the second part of Charles's question, then we got to move on.
The second part is there is always attempts to try and make sure that government of power is constrained, and that's one of our duties is to make sure and try to do that. So I can't list any specific bills with regard to police power, but I can tell you that there are bills with regard to federal power that are pending in the legislature right now.
All right, we're going to take a break right here with Senate President Biggs. We'll be back right after this on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Only got about 8 minutes left with Senate President Biggs, and we have Dylan Smith here from TucsonSentinel.com and Mark Evans from Inside Tucson Business. Mark, you're up to the plate.
So, President Biggs, what do you think is this the solution for CPS? I know the governor wants to give it a new name and make it its own entity that has to have legislative authority. So it's, you're going to have a say on this. It's got to be funded. Presumably that funding's going to be transferred over from whatever was in the DES budget, plus a little bit more if their money is there. What's the end game here in terms of solving the CPS problem legislatively?
Well, that's a great question. And And it's taking a lot of everyone's time and focus and intention, because we really believe we have to get a solution to what I consider to be a cyclical problem. Because if you look back over the last 30 years, every 4 or 5 years, you have some kind of major crisis. And so the first step, and I think the governor has done a good job with a couple of the first steps, where she's got that, the care committee has gone and investigated the cases that were not investigated. We have still a 10,000 case backlog, and so we need to make sure that gets taken care of. And to that extent, last week we in the legislature passed out funding for more caseworkers, almost 200 new workers, which will take time to get up and trained and going. And but that in and of itself represents a $38 million commitment over from now through 2017. But it isn't going to be just about money, because last year, in fiscal year 13, and then again in the current fiscal year, CPS had received more money than they ever had before, actually. We'd made up whatever reductions DES had made in that budget, and we gave them more money, and yet the problem persisted. So I introduced a bill this week to provide some funding for the Department of Administration to bring in a national expert on child protective services, so we can do an analysis on best practices, what works and does not work in Arizona, look at it from top to bottom, really do a thorough examination, so that in the end, we end up with the right solution. And I understand the governor wants better communication, and so she makes it a cabinet-level position. That may be great, but there are some other solutions that need to be considered as well as part of a best practices solution, such as two states that have gone to private service providers in their system to far greater extent than any other state. We need to know what they're doing, how successful they are.
Well, won't that take some time to put together? It's got to go through the legislative process if it's a bill, and then you got to cobble those people together and bring them in. What do we do in the meantime if your bill is successful?
What we're trying to do in the meantime is provide, which we've done, is provide funding for resources for new workers, as well as like we did in the last session, we provided additional money for what we call emergency services in the budget. And I will tell you that was a bipartisan effort to try to get that money there. It was not used as it was supposed to, but we're trying to get funding for upfront services so that we take care of these kids now, while we're also investigating and determining the best possible path for protection of our children and families.
All right, Dylan Smith, quick question.
Well, we were talking about time and attention and the process, and this sort of goes to that. There's been some proposals out there about limiting the amount of time that the legislature can be in session. And the proponents of that say that because legislators are part-time, it would make them better able to manage the rest of their lives, might lead to more people running for office. But would that really give you the ability to be effective legislators if you are limited in the amount of time that you had to discuss things and really dig into problems? And would it just lead to more special sessions?
Well, that's exactly what I think would happen. I think there's three proposals in the legislature right now, and is to make it, one of them is to make a 45-day session, one is to make a 100-day session with this idea. Both of those have this idea that you would come in on a regular basis through the remainder of the year, which I don't know how that gets at whatever their stated objective may be, but we have found, the 2 years, 2 years ago, we were well under 100 days. The year before that, we were well under 100 days. You can get your work done But if you're going to set an artificial limit of 100 days and say statutorily it has to end, two things about that. The legislature can just say, well, you know what, we need more time, and they can blow through that anyway. The second thing is, well, all those bills will cost the state a whole lot more money because it will require legislators to come up 1 week out of each month or even more often. And frankly, most legislators are working on constituent issues year-round anyway, but they will come up and stay, so we'll be paying for staffing, we'll be paying for, which goes down typically in the interim, we'll be paying for mileage and lodging for legislators to come up. And to what end, really? In my opinion, you further dilute the role of legislators in the process, and you give special interest groups probably a little bit greater control of the process that way.
When do you think the session will wrap up this year?
On the 125th day. No, I'm just kidding with you. My goal and hope is, frankly, that we can get in under 100 days, which would put us early to mid-April. I'm always optimistic. I always believe that's the case. I think the budget is the big issue, and wrapped up in that is CPS and some of the other issues we've talked about today. But if we work hard, I think we can get pretty close to that goal and accomplish what we need to.
All right. Senator President Biggs, thank you very much. Sorry we couldn't get to one of our callers. Matthew, sorry, ran out of time there. If you want to call us during the roundtable, if you had a comment or question, we'd be happy to hear from you. We're going to wrap it up, though, with Senator Biggs. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Good talking to you guys.
Be right back with the roundtable.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The UA College of Science presents this year's lecture series, The Evolving Brain, Monday evening starting January 27th through March 10th at UA Centennial Hall. Lectures are free and open to all. Now in its ninth year, the UA Science Lecture Series with its distinguished speakers gives opportunity to discover astonishing new insights about the evolution of the highly complex human brain. More at cos.arizona.edu.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294 1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, the Reporters Roundtable presented by Moncada Construction, licensed, bonded, and insured. Chris and his team, they'll take care of all it for you. Carpentry, they can handle interior painting, drywall, insurance restoration, you name it. Chris Moncada and the team can take care of you. Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com, 520-390-2247, and they welcome credit cards. For our Friday Reporters Roundtable, Mark Evans is here. Mark is the editor of Inside Tucson Business and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And we're going to go to Matthew in a moment. We didn't have time for Matthew on the live line. But Matthew, sorry we couldn't work you in. What was your comment that you wanted to talk about with Senate President Biggs?
Well, this week, if they watch the legislature, they will have seen, and it's represented by Representative Quassman, bringing up a study from Oregon where he complained, where it demonstrates that Medicaid expansion led to more people using the emergency room, and his feeling that they need to somehow now curtail because of the Medicaid expansion portion of the Affordable Care Act. And he has a bill that basically is trying to attack that issue. And I just don't understand why they're so upset that people can now go to the emergency room. I would suspect that there's going to be an increase in usage of emergency rooms initially during Medicaid expansion because people will feel more comfortable that they're going to get taken care of. The second thing, it goes to the whole tenor of the bills. There's another bill in the legislature this week that basically wants to attack childless adults in Medicaid expansion as well that use Medicaid by requiring them to basically provide that they're out there looking for jobs, and if they don't within 5 years find a job, then they're out of the system. They're attempting to create some sort of cap, and again, the tenor is to attack Medicaid expansion.
Okay.
So I would encourage Dylan and to Mark to look at that. The second, real quickly, I'll wrap it up.
Real quickly, please.
You know, this was a bad week. We had unemployment insurance extension for benefits failed yesterday because they needed one more United States senator, a Republican, to come over. One person. We have two United States senators, and there's no reason that they should not have supported the extension of unemployment benefits.
All right, Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know you're very passionate about wanting to extend the unemployment benefits. But Matthew does bring up a point. Republican lawmakers now do want limits on Medicaid, Mark. They're trying to kind of work around.
Yeah, there's Quasman and the House Speaker are running against each other
Andy Tobin.
Right,
and
for
Quasman.
The CD1 for Congress. And if you're gonna win this year, you got to be against, as a Republican, you got to be against Obamacare. And so they're introduced these bills. There is no feeling, no wish within the legislature to go back to last year and fight all over again with Medicaid. They're the same people are still there, absent Linda Lopez and I think one other person who dropped out. but you're going to get the same split that you had last year. It'll cause the same bitterness. They don't want to drag out the session because they all want to get out on the stump and start running for re-election. I don't think revisiting Medicaid has much of a chance, nor will it be signed by the governor. She'll veto
it. It's not going to I don't see that bill really going anywhere. First off, the expansion of access is revenue neutral for the state. The feds are picking up that tab for several years. Real quick on that Oregon study, if you go look at it, it was a study over a very short term, just a few months. I mean, these things are just kicking in, and it is pretty logical to that people who are now have the ability to get their health care paid for are going to seek out more health care. You know, you can always go to the emergency room for free, but anybody who's ever been poor and tried to do that knows it's a real hassle. You get sent bills. You don't just go there and they never talk to you again. So that's really deterred a lot of people from going to the emergency room. Now that they have health care, they'll go. And hopefully we will see over the long term that if they have preventive care, that they will not be using the emergency room as their primary care source.
Yeah, I mean, the only way to really judge Obamacare if it is effective is it needs to be in existence for several years and create multiple years worth of data to see whether it's having any effect.
We're 3 years into, a 5 to 8 year process of how this is going to work.
I want to take advantage of the fact that I have both of you gentlemen with me in studio to talk a little bit about the demise of the TucsonCitizen.com site. The irony of all of this is both of you were with me last week, but we didn't really know about it because it was happening pretty much while we were on the air.
We were on the air, they turned off the website.
They turned off the TucsonCitizen.com. And what did they put up, Dylan? Just a short little notice?
Yeah, they put up like a 3 or 4 sentence notice that it was going away and would reappear in several days as an archive. And it's sort of in the process of doing that right now.
And, of course, you have a history with Gannett and Tucson Citizen.
I was the online editor for the Citizen when they closed down the newspaper in May 2009.
And Mark Evans?
I was the assistant city editor. Uh-huh. And when they closed down the newspaper and they created the website, which was part of a negotiated settlement with the Justice Department, they were going to keep two people. After the editorial page editor, Mark Kimball, turned down the job, and after Dylan Smith turned down the job, they came to me, and I accepted the job.
Third time's the charm.
I had the choice of being unemployed or employed, and yeah. I chose employment.
And you became then the administrator of this site called TucsonCitizen.com, which was a collection of bloggers.
Right, which it wasn't intended to be. It was only intended to be me and Ryn Gargalinski, who was the other person who was retained, to simply comment on the day's news, and that was going to assuage the Justice Department that the editorial voice of the Citizen was being preserved, which was a requirement under the Newspaper Preservation Act. And then I had to write a weekly editorial that was to be published in the Star. That was all it was intended to be. I didn't think that had any hope. And so I had been a big proponent of citizen journalism, and I thought, well, this would be an opportunity to see if I can get all the disparate voices that are out in Tucson, bring them into TucsonCitizen.com, and use the power of the group and the citizens, the TucsonCitizen.com URL, which had been around for almost 20 years, or 15 years at that point, to build a group of community voices, and that's how it grew into becoming a blogger site. It was my idea. But we ran into trouble over the last couple of years with technical problems, lack of support through the partnership agreement that exists between Gannett and Lee Enterprises. I was offered a job at Inside Tucson Business, and I jumped at it. That left Anthony Jimeno, who had replaced Ryn Gargalinski 3 years ago, who was writing sports for us, to take over. And he and I had talked a long time about what we were going to do to try and fix the site and improve it. And I said, well, you should take your shot and see if you can change this into a sports site, which was one of the discussions back in 2009 that I had with Gannett officials. Rather than do just a general interest blogging site, why don't we just do sports?
But that never went anywhere.
And for five months, whatever it was, Gannett never gave Anthony an answer until they told him, don't come around anymore last week, which was unfortunate. I mean, there was there's really no reason for Gannett to pull the plug. They're only saving, you know, a rounding error in terms of the amount of profit
but
that they
take
out of
the money.
Citizen.
Right,
they get half the citizens, half the Star's money. And last year, according to their SEC filings, the Lee SEC filings, they got $6 million in profit out of the thing.
That was the their half share was the $6 million, not a $12 million in profit.
Right.
Although Lee's, you know, profit from this operation
Lee,
goes
the owner
straight
of the Arizona Daily Star,
the publisher of the Star, that goes straight to paying off their debt. It's not really profit per se. In how their finances are structured. It's pretty ironic that the last man standing, the last employee of the Tucson
Anthony
Citizen,
Cimino.
After 144 years, is a guy who actually got laid off from that newspaper, you know, from the Citizen twice.
So what happens to the site now, the TucsonCitizen.com site?
Well, they say they're going to make an archive of the stories available, and last I checked, that's still not linked to from the front page. There's still just the notice, sorry, the site's gone, showing there. But if you poke around a little bit, you can find two different archives, one going back to 1993 of stories that appeared in print. And it's just the text. There aren't any photos with any of those stories. It's coming out of one of the electronic systems that was in the library. Then there's another one that is all of the stories that were posted on the website from 2006 up through just a couple weeks after the newspaper was shut down in 2009. So at this point, I don't know if all the stuff that Mark and Anthony worked on for 4.5 years or so will show back up again.
I hope so. I wrote some good stuff.
You did write some good stuff.
But, you know, the concept, I think, was sound that you had, that Mark, that you put together of this community of bloggers. A lot of good information. Carolyn Clausen.
Yeah, I mean, there was
put
a lot of great
lot of
people
great stuff
who wrote for the site. I mean, there's a million people in this town, and to say that a handful of reporters at a single newspaper or a couple of news outlets can tell all those stories is just egoist. There's no way. And so there's a lot of people out there who have a lot to say. Well, you can start your own website, and you can start your own blog, and you're just a single voice in a football stadium trying to be heard. I mean, it's just there's no way to get traction. But bring them all together, and there would be a lot of traction. We were the number two most viewed website in town in 2012, and we were getting 800,000 people a month coming to the site. I think the only one that's higher than that was the Star at the time.
The profitability wasn't there. Profitability.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was no business plan per se to actually sell ads for the Citizen site because there were no Citizen salespeople. They were all Star salespeople. So ads were only appearing on the site because they were appearing on the Star's website. It was like a value added thing. And we had technical problems, and I tried for a year and a half, almost 2 years, to get those technical problems solved, and they just were ignored, which was a great frustration to me. It's one of the reasons why I left.
Well, it's pretty apparent.
It would have been profitable. If they had fixed it, I'd have made that thing profitable.
It's pretty apparent that the whole idea of having the website continue on after the newspaper was shut down was something that was tossed together the morning that the newspaper was shut down. You know, we were both there in the newsroom experiencing the sort of chaos that was going on, and that's a deal that, we don't have any definitive proof, but we know it was hammered out with the Justice Department at the very, very last minute.
Right, which is its purpose was to exist. It allowed for the shutting down of the Citizen, and it allowed the Justice Department to feel like somehow they had done their job and preserved an editorial voice.
For people who don't know, the reason Justice had to review it was because of the business partnership between the Citizen and the Star that ran for decades, and to get around antitrust laws.
Known as a joint operating agreement, JOA, that had been in effect for...
Since 1972,
1971. Yeah, so that gave, they had to submit all of their plans to the Justice Department to get around antitrust laws.
Now, I presume they also had to get the Justice Department to sign off on this final plug pulling.
Justice isn't returning anybody's calls on that.
Right. I've called the black hole that is the United States Justice Department, including the people who were the primary investigators based on the court documents that we got from them a few years ago. and over the shutdown, and so far nothing. Nobody's talking to me, but I tried to make a change to the site 2 years ago where we were going to sell our own ads, and I was told that we couldn't do that until there was a legal opinion that it did not violate the settlement agreement that was agreed with the Justice Department, which would have meant Lee would have had to have something to say about it.
Well, so. I think it's a shame, Dylan, because bottom line is that it takes away a lot of voices from the community that wouldn't have had any other place.
Yeah, that, you know, there were some
very
good writers.
I mean, they can now post on Facebook, but what the nice thing about TucsonCitizen.com was it was this clearinghouse of bloggers.
Andy Morales is a PE teacher in the Amphi School District. When he gets done teaching his charges, his little third graders and kiddies over at the elementary school he teaches at, he then spends every afternoon and almost every weekend covering high school sports. Mm-hmm. He was a one-man high school sports section. He was unbelievable. He worked harder than anybody for no pay, simply for the love of it.
Wow.
He broke stories. He was phenomenal, and he's now... he's gone. He's gone in with his brother, who lives in Las Vegas, to combine a website. But it will not have necessarily the reach that he had. He had thousands of followers. There was 50,000 people a month were reading his high school stories. He was covering stuff the Star wasn't covering. And that's the great tragedy. There was a lot of people like that that were providing content that's just not being provided anywhere else within the city. I expected it. I thought it was going to happen, but I was sorely disappointed at the way Gannett and the Star handled it.
I've been talking to several of the people, you know, who were on the Citizen about coming and doing some writing for TucsonSentinel.com. I imagine you've talked to a couple of people about that.
I hired Anthony as a freelance writer today.
There you go.
Well, I hope they will reemerge on TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan, I'm sure you're open to talking to many of them. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope you both have a great weekend.
You too.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Everybody else out there.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company and an official partner of the Tucson Festival of Books, one of the best events in the country. Here's someone to tell you more.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team, one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks a lot, Bruce, and to everyone associated with this literary extravaganza. Be sure to mark your calendar for the 6th Annual Tucson Festival of Books, March 15th and 16th on the beautiful U of A campus. And be sure to visit Arizona Party Rental on Speedway west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Tomorrow's the big day, the Chocolate Fantasia. Saturday, downtown Silver City, 20 gourmet chocolates from over 30 chocolate shops in and around downtown Silver City, which is just three and a half hours east of Tucson. Should be a lot of fun for those that have a sweet tooth, just in time for Valentine's Day. Check it out in Silver City. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All the fine places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist and the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. Happy Friday. You know, it's 12:55, so I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. And the minute I hang up with you, I think my weekend is about to begin.
Yes, and you'll be thinking about a new Foothills restaurant.
I will. You know, Bill, we always love celebrating the opening of a new restaurant here in Southern Arizona. And the new kid on the block actually opens today at 5 o'clock, and it's called Knox Kitchen and Cocktails, and it's located on Skyline, just east of Campbell. Now, I had the opportunity to get a sneak peek at this place last night, and all I can say is, wow, from the design to the music to the cuisine and, of course, the cocktails, these guys have hit the bullseye. So it makes it my pick for happy hour today, and I think their thoughtful happy hour menu is really going to intrigue you just enough to want to stay for dinner as well. So give Knox a try tonight, and you may find yourself going back again before the weekend wraps up.
I know for sure that you did not go away hungry, that's for sure.
Indeed.
Every year you get out the Mardi Gras costume, and this weekend, no exception. This is a big benefit for our friends at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
Yeah, leave it to our friends at Casino del Sol to throw the perfect party, and even though Fat Tuesday is weeks away, they've already started the celebration with Mardi Gras tomorrow night at 6:30, Bill. And as you said, this event benefits the Community Food Bank, and guests are going to enjoy carnival-style entertainment, music and dancing, a gourmet New Orleans-style dinner, and a traditional Nolens Hurricane cocktail. Tickets are just $100 and can be purchased at MardiGrasTucson.org. And Bill, as they say, laissez les bons temps rouler.
How did I do, Bill? Yeah, I think you did very well. Are you wearing the Superman cape this year, or did you retire?
Of course.
All right. We like to also mention brunches around town. Tucson's great for Sunday brunch. Where do you like this weekend?
Yeah, you know, Bluefin Seafood Bistro is my pick for this weekend on Oracle and Ina. Bluefin has all the classics along with signature items like poached eggs and crab cakes, lobster benedict, and an impressive lineup of fresh oysters. I say make it a Bluefin brunch this Sunday, Bill.
And your column in Inside Tucson Business, nice profile.
Yeah, absolutely. With Valentine's Day just a week away, I sat down with Tucson's Iron Chef Ryan Clark to find out how he defines romance from a culinary perspective, and I fell in love with him myself just hearing him tell the tale. See what the chef had to say in today's Inside Tucson Business.
It's a love story with Matt Russell. Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Cheers. Thanks.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We thank Culligan. All of the in-studio guests here provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water as they go on the radio here to talk with us on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to remember the local talk. It doesn't just end here on Friday. It starts really up tomorrow morning with Phil Cedar. So much news as we get ready to transition into spring. His garden show starts up at 7 a.m. tomorrow, and then it's really a full weekend of expert talk. And then, of course, we're all back at it. Chris and Joe with Wake Up Tucson on Monday morning. And then the new show, The Daily Double with Christy Simone, from 8 to 9. Hope you have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.